Welcome back to the Wavebreak Podcast. I'm Dylan Kelly, the founder of Wavebreak, and we help Shopify stores maximize their email revenue. Now, every week I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores on this podcast, and I get them to share their secrets. I've got a lot of great episodes in the pipeline, so subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or you can sign up to our podcast email list in the show notes below so that you get notified as soon as those episodes drop. And we've got some serious banger episodes for you guys. They're freaking insane. You're going to love them. But anyway, let's get into this episode. This one is brought to you by Wavebreak, my e-commerce email marketing agency that works exclusively with Shopify and Shopify Plus stores. Is your email marketing underperforming? Maybe you don't have time, or you don't know what to do, or maybe it's a combination of the two. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email revenue. Black Friday is coming in hot, and if you want to improve your email marketing, you can schedule a call with me, Dylan, by going to wavebreak.co to learn more. That's wavebreak.co. Just head over to wavebreak.co, click the schedule a call button, and I will email you the next steps. Now, speaking of email marketing, that is one of the most powerful ways you can grow your business from seven figures to eight figures to nine figures. Today on the show, we're talking about another super powerful strategy for growing your store. And that is conversion rate optimization. And you probably know that you should be doing conversion rate optimization, but it's not sexy. However, it is insanely valuable. It consistently increases sales and it grows online stores, and it doesn't matter if you sell tires or if you sell bras or if you sell headphones. Today on the show, I chat with Justin Christensen from Conversion Fanatics. He's helped dozens of online stores increase their conversions. And today we're going to get into the nitty gritty, the details on how you can apply conversion rate optimization to your store to grow your sales. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan, for having me.
All right, so first things first, today we're going to be talking about conversion rate optimization. Can you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about how you got into conversion rate optimization?
Yeah. So, I started my digital marketing career about 15 years ago. I can't even remember 2001, 2002, somewhere in there. Been doing it full time since 2005. I had grown up and was partners on a digital marketing publishing company. We published a lot of internet marketing training and information. We grew that up to just shy of about $10 million in revenue. And I sold my stake back to my business partners. And during that time, I had published a bunch of information about split testing. And when I left, people asked me, like, how do I do that? And they wanted to know more information. So basically, out of necessity and demand, I started a small kind of one-man shop consultancy around optimization. And then later on, partnered with my longtime friend, Manish Punjabi, to found what is now Conversion Fanatics, built out an entire team. I think we've got a staff of close to 20 now, helping, companies understand not only the importance of optimization, but understanding and helping them understand more about their visitors and basically handling the heavy lifting around, the design, the implementation, the strategy that comes with optimization.
Love it. Yeah. One of the biggest things is like time. Like everybody knows they should be doing everything. They know what they should be doing, right? Conversion rate optimization or this ad or this marketing channel, but it's like nobody has that extra time.
Yeah. I mean, optimization gets pushed down the priority list. You know, it's not a sexy topic compared to, say, something like Facebook ads. Everybody's screaming and everybody's got a Facebook ads agency these days. And it's just a sexy topic. People think they can fix everything by just going out and getting more eyeballs on what it is they have to offer. But those incremental changes and understanding the behaviors and the interactions with the visitors on site, how they interact with your brand, the different messaging, the different layouts, and pretty much everything's up for grabs in terms of optimizing is really the name of the game. What if you had 10, 20, 30, 50% more impact with your traffic? How much would that impact your business versus increasing, say, I want to just spend $5,000 a day on ads today instead? So, yeah, there is a time factor to it that people don't understand. You can't just throw up a split test and hope to God it's going to work. There's a lot of other elements behind it, the reasons why, developing hypothesis, developing out that test, cross-browser, cross-domain, cross-everything, checking it. for efficiency. And it's just not an easy process that most people can generally tackle.
Yeah, totally. And so let's jump back a little bit. Let's go with a high level overview here for a second. Like, what is conversion rate optimization?
So conversion rate optimization, under my definition, I guess, is most people immediately think A/B testing or, you know, split testing in that capacity. Conversion optimization is much bigger than that. It's really understanding what the visitors are doing, what they're paying attention to, what they're ignoring, where they're falling off, what friction points are on the site, how are they interacting with the brand, how are they interacting with the marketing messages, what elements hold the most weight on a specific page, versus just saying, oh, this looks like a good idea, let's go out and test it. It's really just understanding the why behind. And that's what the question we ask for everything. Why did that happen? Or why is this resolved this way? And A/B testing is really a way for us to prove and disprove any of our assumptions or any of our experimentation ideas as we're furthering along that process.
Right. And so you've already kind of touched on this, but like, what's the, so we know what conversion rate optimization is now. It's a lot more than A/B testing, but like, what's the problem this solves? Like, why do I need this for my Shopify store or e-commerce business? What are the holes? Like, what are the pains? Like, what are some of the things that I'd be experiencing to know this is something that I need to do, like, right away? I need to move this to the front of my to-do list. Like, what are those things?
Well, I mean, conversion optimization, every company, I always say, and I heard this from a friend of mine, Eric Graham, he said, testing is like a video game, except for high score, you make more money. I love that quote. I use it. I recite it often. But basically, anybody who is producing any form of results through their e-commerce store, maybe they're selling 20, 30, 50 products a day, whatever it might be, and more, you know, we've got clients that are selling thousands of products every day, is what happens through the conversion rate optimization process is you're going to end up with happier customers. You're going to end up with reduced customer acquisition costs, so your ads are going to become more effective. You're going to have better engagement on your site. You're going to typically have an increase in average order value. And just all around, it'll help you scale. A good example of this is we had a client recently that we took them from 2% to 3% conversion rate, and they turned on 70% more traffic, literally in 2 weeks. Just opened the fire hose, dumped a bunch of traffic, their conversion rate dipped down to 2.1. And they were like, well, wait a second, our conversion rate dipped a lot. You know, what happened? Well, nothing really happened. They'd made a whole boatload more money because they have 70% more traffic. And they ended up scaling that the last 12 months or so over 300% because as you're optimizing, you're constantly evolving your marketing message so you can better interact with your visitors and you can better connect with your visitors. So it makes scaling a whole lot easier because you're understanding more about your visitors. And instead of just going out and randomly changing things, as not to pick on the Shopify people, but there are a lot of Shopify store owners out there that just go and say, oh, so-and-so has this plugin or so-and-so has this look on their site or so-and-so does this. I'm just going to do that on my site without actually measuring and understanding why. And once you understand that why and follow a true process to optimization, the sky's the limit. You're going to out-convert everybody else. You're going to outperform everybody else. And you're going to be more profitable at the end of the day.
Totally. I like that a lot. And I think it's easy to get discouraged as a marketer because you're always trying all these things. And it's like 9 out of 10 things doesn't work. But every single thing that you find out that doesn't work gets you closer to that one thing that does. And then you get a result like you just talked about where it's just like they tripled their sales.
Yeah. And that's the thing is so many people see, they get discouraged. Maybe they run a few split tests and they get losers, you know, a bunch of losing tests. Instead, most people will just go on and move on to the next test or the next idea instead of learning why did that perform the way it did. Maybe it showed promise early on and it settled on and ended up losing by 20%. But why did it show promise early on? What are the trends in that data? What did we learn from it? You know, I just wrote a case study here this morning that was all about reducing the hero image on a homepage of a very high traffic store. And it just pushed up the products for sale, and it ended up increasing their conversions by 26% and their revenue per visitor by 37%. But what we learned from that is the hero image smaller. It didn't matter the number of calls to action above the fold of the page, but it mattered that we pushed up the actual products and the top selling products on that page so they were visible above the fold. So we're learning something from every use case there.
Like, and with these things that you learn, like, you're not just learning like, okay, this button looks better green. You're learning like actual, like, you're learning how your customers think, and this changes mm-hmm. how you can do your advertising, how you do the rest of your marketing. It can literally change your whole business too, just from improving conversions, which already has its own set of benefits.
Yeah. So a couple examples there are, if say you wanted to change a button color, but you have to have a reason behind it. So maybe a good example of this is, we had a black and white theme website for a particular company. Their buttons were all kind of gray. They had the mouse over effect. They did all of those things. But we just added some contrast in the main calls to action and made it a different color that really stood out on the page. And it increased conversions like over 40%. So we try to answer that question why, instead of, oh, just a green button works better than an orange one. You have to have a reason why, in that it adds contrast. It leads the visitor subconsciously through each step. If you have the same color for every step in the main calls to action, and the step, and I always say lead them down the path of least resistance to the end goal. And if it does that subconsciously through the contrast in the main button colors, and it makes it clear what the next steps are, then chances are you're going to increase engagement and increase your conversions. Another example is, maybe you find out that 75% of your visitors are mobile, but your conversion rate's in the tank. What does your mobile experience look like? You know, in a mobile responsive environment, people don't pay attention necessarily to what mobile looks like. They just say, yeah, we're mobile ready because we're responsive. Instead of, you know, we found out that this particular women's clothing company, they were on Shopify. You know, they had to click to expand to on mobile, you had to tap, then it would drop down a menu, then you'd select your size, and then you had to tap, it drop down a menu and select color. So, and so on and so on. So what we did is we just expanded all those elements and removed that friction point on mobile, and we increased their mobile conversions by 37%.
Wow. Yeah. Mobile is a big one too. Like, if you haven't opened up your phone and gone through your own checkout process and buying process on your phone, on your store, there's probably a lot of holes there. Like, that's probably, would you say that's where the most holes are in your funnel? Like, in terms of conversion rate optimization in terms of 2018?
Yeah, I mean, there's sites, you know, mobile is obviously huge, and you run into some issues with attribution, you know, people browsing on their phone and then coming back later and buying on desktop and things like that. But yeah, mobile experience is big, because so many people, like I said, have this mobile responsive website, but maybe they have a cool chat pop-up or something like that, and it blocks 90% of the page on mobile.
Yeah, I've literally experienced that the other day. I was like, I couldn't even click the button I wanted to click because the little intercom live chat was in the way, and there's no way to get rid of it. So I just left.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so many people. They just think, yeah, I'm mobile ready, and then they have all of these cool, you know, Shopify's made it very easy because there's so many amazing plugins out there. But you have to pay attention to how that plays in different environments. You know, how does it look on different screen resolutions? We test, you know, when we're quality checking experiments before they go live, we'll test it on, you know, browser stack and test it on every single device and every single browser and every possible scenario and screen resolutions that we possibly can think of to make sure that it's working the way it should be. And the right pieces on mobile, you know, are the same. You know, we on desktop, people aren't used to scrolling as much. On mobile, they are. You know, with just a flip of the thumb and boom, we're down at the bottom of the page. So you got to really treat those separately and not just think that you have, since you're mobile ready and you're responsive, that you're good to go.
Gotcha. Yeah. So definitely check that out if you haven't. Like, if you have a chat plugin, first things first, make sure that's not interfering with anything on mobile.
Gather some qualitative data too. Install something like Hotjar on your site. That's a requirement for every single one of our clients, is we have to install Hotjar. Just so we can see you know, how far people are scrolling, what they're clicking on both mobile and desktop.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next question. Now that we know what we're missing out on, more money and a lot more than that. Like, what do we do next? Like, how do we achieve these results you've been talking about?
So generally what we'll do is we'll comb through the analytical data, you know, just log into Google Analytics and look and find trends, you know, just see what's going on. Who is your demographic? You know, who's the majority of people that are buying? What did the device breakdown look like? What does the site speed look like? What kind of engagement? What kind of bounce rates? We're just looking for typical trends in that information, in that data. Then we'll back it up with some qualitative data, such as heat maps, where we'll understand, you know, their browsing behavior, you know, what they're paying attention to, what they're ignoring on that page, how far they're scrolling. Maybe you find out that you have a great video that you recorded and it highlights all the cool benefits of your product, but you have it so far down the page that only 25% of people are getting down there, and then another 25% of those people are clicking on it. So it's pretty much useless. And then from there, we combine all that data, and then we just go through the browsing experience on the site and act as if we're the visitor. I give it the kind of 5-second test. I load the website. I look, see, like, okay, do I know what these people do very quickly? Do I know the next step? And do I know what I'm going to get when I get to that next step? And then I just look through that browsing and look for friction points and key elements that are distracting from the main goal that I want achieved. And then from there, we take it and develop our hypothesis around that. So maybe we find out that 97% of visitors are bouncing within 15 seconds. As a crazy example, we'll take that information and be like, okay, what are the reasons why they could possibly be bouncing? So we'll come up with all of the test ideas around why the visitors aren't doing what we want them to do. And then we'll list that out, answer the question why, then we'll prioritize those on where we want to experiment first.
Nice. Okay. So to recap a little bit, it's like, all right, first things first, like if you don't have Hot Dress set up, set that up. But it really starts with analytics. You dive through your analytics, you figure out, okay, who are my customers actually? Learn as much as you can about that. Next, you put yourself into the visitor's shoes. You pretend you're the visitor. Do the 5-second test, figure out, okay, what do I need to do next? And I think that's a big thing. Like, some of the most successful marketers in the world of all time have been really good at telling you exactly what to do next, like direct response marketing. And that's something I think online, a lot of people don't do so much. They think, okay, if people are going to buy, they're going to buy. Or if someone wants this, they're just going to ask for it. But like the easier you make that step, which is why this is so important, the more people are going to, like the less friction you have, the more people are going to convert, the more money you're going to make. And so that's where you get into like, okay, why aren't the visitors doing what I want? And then you figure out, okay, what are some ways we could fix this? Does that sound right?
Yeah, and that's really it. It's just trying to figure out how we can make it as seamless and streamlined as possible in the buyer journey. I mean, that's really it. You know, we've had sites that come to us and they have 7 steps before you can actually check out. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. You know, you just remove all of those friction points the best you can possibly do, and you're going to find that your conversions increase. So many people get too complicated and they just overcomplicate absolutely everything because we have all of these great plugins that claim that they can do X, Y, and Z. A good example of this is the pop-ups that show the recent purchases on Shopify.
Right. The someone from Texas purchased, doll 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is 8 times out of 10, that'll decrease your conversions.
Whoa. See, just and they don't put that on their marketing page.
No, because the problem is it's people are now attuned to what that plugin is. You know, there's various plugins that do it, but they're attuned to it and it's distracting. Yes, it's good that you can have social proof, but there's better ways to leverage that social proof than to distract people with another pop-up. We have found more times than not that movement of any kind on a page or on a site will distract the visitors and oftentimes reduce the conversions.
That's crazy. So what other things, are there any other things that you see just like coming up over and over again that not necessarily people should take your advice for and just turn off or on, but something that people like, are there any things that you see over and over again that it's like, these are things that people should be testing? Not, don't just copy, but like you should test these things because this is where a lot of low hanging fruit is similar to that.
Yeah, a couple things. One that comes to mind is social share icons. People have them on their product detail pages all the time, but the benefits of somebody sharing that that product are far less than removing it in general. We've seen conversion increases up to 40% just by removing social share icons because it's distracting. You know, they'll click on share to Facebook and they'll be like, oh, I haven't checked Facebook in 20 minutes. You know, and they're back onto Facebook checking that, and they forgot that they were in the store trying to buy something. Another example that we see over and over, and probably the overwhelming majority of the issues that we see, are people are not benefit focused on their products. They're all about, hey, look at how great our products are, instead of what is in it for me as a consumer. Speak to them directly. Make it very simple for them to understand that I am going to get X, Y, and Z result by using this product, or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is. You know, people only buy for two reasons, and that's to avoid pain or gain pleasure. But you have to understand what's in it for me. I use the example that I have a MacBook Pro here, by 16 gigabytes of RAM. Okay, that's great. That's a feature. But what's the benefit of me having that? You know, faster processing speeds and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say lead with the benefits and support it with the features. You know, so, if, you know, I was reviewing a bike site this morning, you know, and did an analysis for them. And it was the same thing. It's like, okay, yeah, I've got this great product, but I don't see any absolute benefit of your product. You're just screaming at me how great it is, and I have all of these great features. I have this big, long battery life. I have all of this, but they didn't tie it into any of the experience that I would get by owning that product.
Right. And this is an electric bike, right?
That one was.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, it's an electric bike. It's like battery life. Okay. What's the actual outcome there? It's like, okay, you can ride as far as you need to go without it dying or something. Like, what's the outcome? How does the person get what they want? Like, what does the other person want? And like you said, I think this is a big thing too that I see over and over again. It's like, what's the feature? It's like, don't sell features, like sell the solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a page out of the direct response world. You know, you sell the end result and make it sound as easy as you could possibly make it sound. But, you know, just understanding that you have to, in the online world, we don't have the luxury of visitors coming into our brick and mortar store and trying on the clothes or touching and feeling the product. So we have to convey that experience as much as we possibly can. We have to get them imagining them using the product or wearing the product or, you know, whatever product you might be selling. You know, you have to give them that experience through your imagery. You have to paint it through your descriptions, you know, get them feeling, you know, great because, you know, it's an electric bike. Great. You know, what are the benefits of owning an electric bike? You know, it's like less impact on, you know, maybe you've got very, you know, environmentally conscious buyers, you know, less impact, on the environment and whatever other benefits that you can have, and just get them experiencing it and showing them the different ways that they can use that particular product. You know, the better we can paint that picture for them, the better off it's going to be.
Totally. And that brings me back and reminds me of an episode of the Wavebreak podcast that I recorded a few weeks ago. With a wonderful lady named Tamara Main from a company called Brooklyn Candle Studio. And they sell candles online, which is like, typically you smell the candle before you buy it. And this is good and it smells good, but you can't smell a candle through an iPhone. So how do you convince them to order online? Well, just like you were saying, like, don't say the features, like, what's the diameter of the candle? Like, I don't care about that right away. But yeah, I'm going to link that in the show notes below. I talked with her a lot about how to write captivating product descriptions and a little bit more on that. But yeah, that's a great takeaway, Justin. Really like that we went in that direction for a second too. That's cool. And so like, as we sort of start to wrap up here, if somebody is experiencing these pains that you mentioned and they're interested in the possibility of increasing their conversions and achieving all these wonderful results, like, what should they do next? I think the most common objection is going to be, I don't have time for this. Like, what do I do next? And if I'm in the position where I want to outsource this, like, how do I do that effectively?
Just hire us and we'll fix it. But
there we go. Conversionfanatics.com.
No, I mean, the next step is really just, I mean, figuring out where this is lies on your priority list. You know, as site owners or, you know, marketing professionals, if you have larger stores and maybe you have a marketing team and things like that, you can, you know, just make it a priority. Nothing should go by with a day should not go by without you split testing something, you know, even if it's something as simple as a product, you know, name or a headline or something like that. Nothing should go by. But if you want to really get into the in-depth side and you just don't have the time to do it, you know, definitely outsource, find the right person. If it's not me, it's somebody else. There's plenty of great companies out there that do and can help with this, but you know, this is our sole focus. It's just conversion optimization. We're not the best at traffic. We're not the best at other things. We're great at one thing. And generally what we do to start is we provide a complimentary analysis. So we'll dive deep into the analytics. We'll look at heat maps if you have them available. We'll comb through your site. We'll come up with kind of a basic starting game plan. And whether you hire us or not, you know, you have that at your disposal.
Love that. I'm going to link that up into the description to get your free analysis. Justin knows this stuff. He's been doing this stuff for years. I think at the end of the day, like, your action step for this episode is like, okay, you know, if you know that can, like, obviously if you don't have any traffic, you need traffic first. But if you're in the boat where you have traffic and you know, like, deep down, or maybe you know because it keeps you up at night, that you need to be doing something with conversion rate optimization, I would say your next step is, like, figure it out. Like, okay, what are you going to do next? Like, what's the next step? Are you going to bake it into your current team somehow? And like, what does that look like? Map that out. Or are you going to outsource it to somebody? And if you're going to outsource it, like, okay, what are a few places you can outsource it to, or request a consultation? Like, just do something today to move you forward, because you could listen to this podcast forever, and that's great. But really, to get the actual results that Justin shared on this podcast, you're going to have to take action. And so I'm going to link up Justin below. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is don't go by analysis paralysis. Just take that action step to do something to better improve your conversions, measure the results, you know, whether it be, you know, hiring a company to do that. But the other caveat that I should say is be patient. So many people want the instant gratification. They want to magically get, you know, 30, 50, 60, 100% improvement in their marketing, but they don't have the patience to actually get there. You know, 1 in 6 tests is going to be a winner on average, but what do you do with the rest of the 5? Don't get discouraged. Be patient with that process. Run your 2, 3, 5 experiments a month, because it'll all build up to bigger lasting impact long term.
Yeah. I mean, time flies. Before you know it, it's going to be cranking. And the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be fully ramped up and just be like, man, like, you'll be dodging bullets that you didn't even know, that you didn't even notice that before were just hitting you right in the gut.
Yeah. And when you're starting out too, just get a second set of eyes on your marketing, somebody that isn't as close to your marketing as you are, whether it be me or, you know, one of my team members or somebody else, because you're so close to your marketing that you get the blinders on and you overlook some of the biggest areas of impact. So the better and more focused you can be there, the better off it's going to be long term. And just go out there. 1% improvement today, or very incremental improvements every single day, is going to lead up to bigger long term. So if you only improve in one area 1% today, if you do that the next day, it compounds long term, and you'll be thankful that you did it and you started today rather than waiting another 6 months.
Heck yeah. So don't wait. Figure out today, what are you going to do? Are you going to somehow add this to your current team? Going to put it on someone's workload? It doesn't have to be insane, but you just have to, you know, chip away at it. Don't try to go for the home run, like Justin said. Just base hits. and you get enough base hits, before you know it, you're winning. The other team doesn't even have a hit yet because they've been swinging for the home run.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. So as we wrap up here, Justin, where can we go to learn more about you and Conversion Fanatics?
You can go to conversionfanatics.com. I'm available on all social channels for the most part. Facebook and LinkedIn I'm more active on. You know, go ahead, reach out there, request your free analysis by going to conversionfanatics.com. You can also, there's a link on there to go over to Amazon and find my best-selling book on there as well.
Awesome. That sounds great. So I'll link up. So that will all be linked in the show notes below. I almost said description. I always think these are YouTube videos for some reason. Yeah, links in the description. I'll link the book and his website and all his contact information in the description, his Facebook and LinkedIn, that sort of thing, as well as everything else we mentioned during this episode. If you have any questions, reach out to Justin. And thanks so much for listening, everybody. And thanks for coming on the show, Justin.
All right. Thanks for having me, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.